You be mine. Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Welcome everyone to Midcurrent Church. My name is Stan. I'm the pastor here, and I'm really glad you could be with us today. I wish so badly that I could be with you today. Unfortunately, yesterday morning, my breakfast did not taste as flavorful as I was expecting it to, and I would later find out that I tested positive for COVID-19. And so the entire Carlson family, we are taking the next 10 days to just stay on the sidelines, to set up shop at home, which means we won't be seeing any of you, and we won't be seeing anyone who we might consider to be neighbors in our own life. With that being said, what is all this talk about neighbors anyway? Well, not long ago, I was on a flight that had movies to choose from on the little screen in the headrest in front of me. And one option was the Mr. Rogers movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. People were loving this movie when it was released a year or so ago. And so I figured I should probably watch it just to see what everyone was getting all excited about. And so I watched it on that flight. And it really was a pretty unique and touching little movie about Fred Rogers and how he truly did treat everyone like they were his neighbor, right? Like they were someone he truly cared about very deeply. And I think what's so great about the story is that it plants a little seed of inspiration inside of anyone who watches it, that maybe this is something I could do. Or I think it plants a seed inside of anyone who's ever had a chance to watch it, that they start to think to themselves, you know what, I could do this. Maybe this is something that I too could do for someone in my life. Okay? Because here's the truth. Here's what I really believe. I really believe that we all have a neighbor in our life whose life might be changed because we invested in it. Okay? This isn't just a Mr. Rogers thing or a VIP thing or some kind of famous person thing, right? Each of us has a neighbor or two or three in our life whose life might be changed because we were a part of it in a really intentional kind of way. Okay? And it might not only be the neighbor who lives next door. Certainly we all have neighbors that live next to us, but our neighbor and your neighbor specifically, it may also be the coworker in the office next to you, be someone who sits every Sunday here at Midcurrent right next to you, or someone who's across the room from you. It could be the classmate whose locker is right next to you. Right? Your neighbor, it might be the mom or the dad who's on the sidelines next to you all season long while you watch your kids play soccer or hockey or baseball. Your neighbor might be the barista that you order the same cup of coffee from every single morning. See, no matter who it is, I really believe that every single one of us, I believe that every single one of you here this morning has someone just like you right next to you in the course of your everyday life, at work or at school or in the community, that God wants you to be a blessing to. And as much as you might want to do that, as much as Fred Rogers might inspire you to be the greatest neighbor that you can be, maybe you're wondering, where do I even start? Okay, how exactly do I even go about being the kind of neighbor that God wants me to be? Well, those are the very questions that I want to answer for you in the new series that we are starting today called The Art of Neighboring, right? For the next 5 weeks, my hope is that you will learn the art of neighboring, but even more than that, my hope is that you will learn how exactly to be a blessing to the you next to you, okay? And at the same time, my prayer is that you would also see this as so much more than just being a good neighbor, so much more than just being a good friend or being a good person. Okay? You blessing the you next to you, I want you to see that it's also a major part of God's plan and God's hope for humanity, right? You might be surprised to know or encouraged to know that you play a vital role in God's plan to bless the whole world. Let me show you what I mean. Some people think that God's mission really started when Jesus came to earth and when he commissioned his closest followers to go and make disciples. But God had a mission to win his people back to him. That's really the essence of God's activity in the world. He lost something and he wants it back, right? And so God had a mission to win his people back to him ever since his relationship with them was broken in the very beginning, right? And from that moment, God sent a plan in motion, and here we start to see it unfold. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Here's what God says to Abraham, who at this time was known as Abram. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And he says to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And then he says, I'm going to bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. Do you see the word that's repeated over and over again? Do you hear the word that's repeated over and over again? Let me highlight it here for you. It's the word bless. Okay, God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing and I'm going to bless those who bless you. And not only that, but all of the people on the earth are going to be blessed through you. Okay, see, what we know about Abraham is that God really had blessed him, particularly with land and with family. In that day, if you had land and if you had family, you were a wealthy man. That was Abraham, right? And so here we find out that Abraham, he was blessed for a reason. Okay, he was blessed to be a blessing. And the same is true for you and for me. Okay, fast forward into the days of the New Testament, into the days of the early church that's beginning to form. And look at what the Apostle Paul wrote about you and me and about any who would consider themselves a follower of Jesus. It's Galatians chapter 3. Here's what Paul writes. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw or predicted that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So here's verse 9. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Okay. Those of us, this is what Paul's saying, those of us who follow Jesus, we share in the same blessing as Abraham, okay? That's great news. But what that means to me is this, if Abraham was blessed then so that he could be a blessing to the world, what that says to me, all this together about you and me then is this, we too are blessed. If we share in that blessing, we too are blessed to be a blessing. And here's the thing we got to understand. Our blessing was never meant to be something that we keep to ourselves, but always something that we pass on to others as often as we can. And this is precisely why I am praying that you would be committed in the course of this series and in the course of the years to come, that you would be committed to blessing all of the yous next to you at school and at work and in the neighborhood and on the sidelines. My hope is that you would accept that challenge. But that really brings me back to the question I just posed a moment ago. Maybe you are wondering, where do I start? And how do I even go about being a blessing to others around me in a way that would actually fulfill God's mission, God's plan here on earth? That's what this series is really all about. The art of neighboring. Okay, and truly blessing the yous next to you, it can actually be broken down into a simple, everyday, everyone can do it kind of strategy. And so I want to teach you that strategy in the course of this series. And it's really just five what I'll call mission principles. It's five basic principles that make up this one strategy for how it is that you and I bless the people that God has put in our life. Let me introduce you to each of those five principles. Here they are. Number one, we begin with prayer. Then we learn to listen well. We have to learn to eat together. Some of you are going, hey, count me in for that week, right? And then we have to learn to serve and also to share. Not just stuff per se or possessions, but story, our story, right? If we're going to bless the entire world, if we're going to bless our neighbor the way God intended us to, we have to begin with prayer. We have to listen, eat, serve, and share, right? These are the mission principles that I'm hoping all of us would start to embrace, that these would become second nature to us here at Midcurrent, right? Because here's what's true. All too often that the mission that we are invited to be a part of, helping God to get back what it is that he lost so long ago, right? Helping real people in a real God meet. So often that mission is something that most of us are hoping would happen rather than actually helping make it happen. Okay? And so I think that these five simple mission principles will empower us to go from hoping to helping God bless this world and to reclaim what it is that was lost. And so with the rest of the time that I have today, I want to talk to you about the first principle of this blessing strategy, which is to begin with prayer. And see, prayer, I think, is one of those things that's kind of like flossing, right? That we know we should do, but oftentimes we don't do, and we hate to admit it out loud to anyone, right? Every time I go to the dentist, they ask me if I'm flossing regularly, and my answer, it's always some kind of vague and twisted and really pretty unclear way of saying no, right? I'm like, well, yeah, most of the time, it ends up that I'm not flossing as many times as I would like, right? We kind of give the 100% of the time, I'm doing it 10% of the time kind of response. I think prayer can be like that, right? We know we should. We might even really want to. We might even have a desire to be praying more, but it can be hard to be consistent with it. And the question is, why is that? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and I want to just maybe suggest a few of them here today. Sometimes we don't pray because we think to ourselves, I don't know how, right? Many of us learn to pray as kids, mostly at mealtime and at bedtime, and when we pray that God would keep us safe and help us to have a good day and to make our, you know, tummy aches go away. But then we grew to be adults without a lot of added instruction about how to pray or what to pray or what to do when we pray. And if I could just look ahead to later this spring, we're actually going to do a series about the dangerous prayers that I want us to start praying. And in the course of the series, we're going to address some of those concerns about not knowing how or what to be praying for, because I think it's something that everyone has experienced. Sometimes, too, we don't pray because we think I'm too busy. Right? I've been there. Right? If I'm being honest with you, one of the things that I struggle with is letting too much of my value be tied to how productive I am. So too often I believe this ugly lie that it says that people will only appreciate me when I can point to something or to produce something impressive, you know, that I have done or achieved or accomplished. And so what happens then is I stay pretty busy, right? I hustle pretty hard to make sure I've created or produced or done something impressive. And so sometimes I struggle to slow down and pray consistently, because when I'm done praying, I have nothing to show for how I just spent my time. See, the truth is prayer takes time, and it takes focus, and it takes energy. And many of us feel like we're already running short on all of those things, right? Our busy lives crowd out a lot of things, even important things, and oftentimes that includes prayer. And still, other times, we don't pray because we maybe think to ourselves, I just don't know if it works, right? Have you ever been there before? You know, oftentimes it can be easy to think to ourselves, you know, hey, I prayed, I really did, and I really meant it, and it didn't really seem to make any difference. So why would I keep praying? I mean, I know I've felt that way before, and maybe you have too, and maybe that's what's made it difficult to pray. Well, there's a lot of reasons why we don't pray, but today I'm going to challenge every one of us, myself included, right, to move beyond just hoping people find their way back to God and to start helping, right, to step onto the playing field with the understanding that we have been blessed so that we could be a blessing to the people next to us wherever we go. And we do that by beginning with prayer. See, I really believe that our efforts to bless and to reach and to influence and to invest in the people around us, I just don't think it'll be as effective unless we begin by praying about it first, praying specifically about who it is that God might want us to invest into, right? For God to, you know, put our antenna up for the people that we might be a blessing to. See, in fact, Jesus himself chose to begin with prayer before one of the most pivotal decisions that he would ever make in his life about who to invest into, what with the time that he had left. And I want to show you that moment. Luke, who walked on the earth the same time that Jesus did, he records that moment like this in Luke chapter 6. He says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. What was he praying for? Let's find out. Keep reading. When morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. It was Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Okay, what we need to understand here is at this specific moment, Jesus knew that all of the religious and all the political leaders were like threatened by him, and they, you know, they wanted him out of the picture. And so he knew, Jesus knew that his time on earth was going to be short-lived. But the mission that God sent him to accomplish, he knew it had to go on without him. He knew that who he invested into, he knew that who he chose to bless with his time and his energy, he knew it was mission critical, and he needed real clarity about it. And so before he made this incredibly important choice, what did he do? He began with prayer. And what that says to me about the mission that he was on, and about the mission that we're on, and about the clarity that he needed, and about the clarity that we needed, what that says to me is this: when we look at Jesus, what that says is that mission clarity is forged in prayer, right? Jesus was on a mission, and he needed to be clear about who it was that he needed to invest into. And so he started with prayer, right? The clarity that we need, right? It is gained in the time that we spend in prayer. Right, Jesus wanted to identify the people that he would invest his life into, okay? And the truth is, there was quite a few candidates around him who could have become his apprentices. I'm sure that in that pool of candidates, there were some that had very attractive and very noticeable potential. I'm sure that there were some that seemed to have real leadership skills. I'm sure that there were some whose personalities made them seem like such obvious choices. However, because Jesus knew that the stakes were high, right, that through these guys, he would be able to bless even more people and carry out the mission of God even further, he spent the night in prayer, a whole night praying to the Father. Now, Luke does not tell us exactly what Jesus prayed. He doesn't tell us how exactly the Father confirmed the right people for Jesus to invite. But what he does tell us is that in the morning, when it was time to make a decision, Jesus had clarity and real direction. Why? How? Because he began with prayer. Okay? And mission clarity, it is forged, it is gained in prayer. Friends, the same is true for us. With the mission that we are on. If we're going to move from hoping to helping, I think we need the same type of clarity about who it is that God might want us to invest into and to bless with our lives. So we could skip this step and just kind of go out, you know, every day, just, you know, guns blazing, just blessing the socks off of every person who crosses our path. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, we should be leaving a very Christ-like, you know, impression wherever we go. But I just wonder if we might be a little more effective with this mission that we are on if we tried to gain a little more clarity about who it is in particular, about who it is specifically that God has put in our life so that we might be a blessing in theirs. Eric and I moved to Wisconsin almost 8 years ago now, when I accepted a job at a church in Menominee. And we bought a house and we moved into a little neighborhood there. And as we were introduced to more and more of our neighbors, it started to seem to us like practically everyone in our neighborhood attended the church where I had just begun working. And at first, Eric and I assumed that maybe it was just a part of, you know, small town living that we weren't used to. We had just moved from Chicago, and we're going like, maybe that is what is at play here. It's a smaller town, it's a bigger church. We figured maybe that's just how it goes, right? Maybe it's just a coincidence. But not long after, we would soon discover that it was no coincidence at all. See, one of the founding members of that church used to live in that neighborhood. And years ago, he used to walk through the neighborhood every day, praying for each family on the cul-de-sac, you know, whose house that he passed by. And those prayers led to relationships, And those relationships led to friendships, and that friendship led to trust, and that trust led to opportunities to tell people about Jesus and about his faith and about the church that was helping to cultivate it and develop it. Okay, but here's the thing. Those opportunities, they weren't just random. They didn't just come up because Jim was a good guy, which he was. They didn't just, you know, come up because, you know, people were kind of drawn to the spirit that Jim had about him, which was also true. He's a great dude. But I think those opportunities, they came about because Jim began with prayer. He was praying for all of the hymns and all of the hers right next to him in his everyday life, praying that God might create an opportunity for him to be a blessing in their lives, praying that God might put on his heart someone in that neighborhood for him to invest into, for him to bless however he could. See, I think if you and I really want to be a part of helping people find their way back to God, if we really want to be a part of, you know, helping real people and a real God meet, I think we have to begin with prayer. We can no longer just be a church that hopes people find their way back to God, hopes that real people and a real God meet. We need to ask God to show us how we can do our part to help people find their way back to him, because God lost something. He lost his once good and perfect relationship with humanity, and he desperately wants it back. And you and I get a chance to help. You and I get to be a part of this mission. We get to be the boots on the ground. And the truth is, we have been blessed not to hoard the blessing to ourselves, but to be a blessing to others. I know it's risky, and I know it can feel uncomfortable to do this kind of stuff, but only God knows the impact that you and I could make in someone's life when we choose to be a blessing, okay? And it all begins with prayer, right? In prayer, we open ourselves up to God and to the leading of his spirit. In prayer, we focus our minds to recognize his promptings. And in prayer, I think that we receive the direction and we receive the clarity that we need to discover the people and the places that God has put in our lives and that God is calling us to invest into and to bless in every way that we can. Friends, prayer is square one. It is the place to start if we are going to be a part of God's great rescue mission here on earth. We can't miss it, and we can't skip over it. I love what the British missionary Hudson Taylor says when she talks about the necessity of prayer and of beginning with prayer. She says this. She says, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instruments afterwards." That makes a lot of sense to me. I've played instruments my whole life, right? She says, "Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards." She says, "Begin the day with the word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with him." Mid-Current, let's always be people who tune up first. Okay, let's always be people who before we do anything else, right, we get into harmony with God. We get into alignment with God. Let's get clarity from God about who it is that we might be a blessing to. Throughout this series, our challenge to you is going to be to identify. I mean, specifically to identify the people and the places that God might be calling you to bless. And we want to help you be as intentional about that as possible. And so here's what we're going to do. On your seat when you came in was this little map. In this week, here's what we want you to do. As you begin with prayer, I want you to pray that God would give you real clarity about all of the yous next to you that you might have a chance to be a blessing to. Maybe it's the coworker in your office. Maybe it's the neighbor who lives on your block. Maybe it's the kids, the family from your kids' hockey team, or maybe it's the business owners in your networking group, or maybe it's the barista that you see every day, or maybe it's the kid whose desk is next to you. Here's what I want you to do. Write their names down on this little map as a reminder of the people that God has placed right next to you. Pray for them. And pray that God will give you an opportunity to be a real blessing to them. Right? Following Jesus and joining God's mission to bless the whole world, it's not always going to be comfortable. But if we're going to go from hoping that mission is fulfilled to helping it be fulfilled every day, we're going to have to be brave, and we're going to have to be bold and courageous, and we're going to have to step into the unknown. And we're going to have to move past hearing stories about one man blessing an entire neighborhood. And we're going to have to start living those stories for ourselves. But most important to those stories is the prayer with which they begin. In fact, we're going to take an opportunity right now to begin with prayer. And I want to guide you in a moment of prayer where we're going to ask God to do a few things. Number one, we're going to ask for God to give us the desire to pray. We're going to ask for God to prepare our hearts for the adventure and for God to give us clarity as to the people and the places that he is calling us to bless. Let me pray for us. God, we give you thanks for this day, and we give you thanks for how good you have been to us. God, we know that you have been a blessing to us, God, and we want to turn around and we want to bless then other people around us, God. And I really truly believe that's going to begin with prayer. And so I'm asking that you would, first of all, give us the desire to pray. God, light a fire inside of us, in our hearts, to commit to this, to commit to getting clarity about who it is that you want us to see and notice and invest into. God, give us the desire to be a part of your mission in this way. God, also, would you prepare our hearts for the adventure? It's not easy. It's not always comfortable. And so, God, we're praying that you would prepare us for whatever it is that comes our way. And God, most of all, would you give us real clarity about the people that you have placed around us? God, there are maybe some opportunities that you have placed us in, God, for such a specific reason and for such a specific moment, because there's someone that you want us to invest into, God. So would you give us real clarity and real direction about the people and the places that you are calling us to bless? And I pray, God, that we would follow after you into the unknown with boldness and with courage each and every day. We pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today. I've got a couple more weeks till I can see you again in person, and I am very much looking forward to that. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Teenagers, do not miss the launch of MC Youth on Wednesday night at the Teen Center in Hudson, and we will see you right back at Mid-Current Church for week number 2 in our series, The Art of Neighboring. We'll talk to you later.